Michigan's Children proudly presents Speaking for Kids, the podcast where we explore crucial conversations impacting the lives of all Michigan children, youth, and families, especially the most vulnerable. Join us each month as we explore public policies and issues in the best interest of our kids and families. We'll bring you lawmakers and policymakers, advocates fighting for change, and the people most affected by those decisions. With our host, Matt Gillard, President and CEO of Michigan's Children, we'll invite you to become engaged too and show you how to take action on what matters most to you. Episodes are recorded live and shared virtually on YouTube and the audio hosting sites Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Speaking for Kids, a podcast brought to you by Michigan's Children. I'm Matt Gillard, the President and CEO of Michigan's Children, and thanks for tuning in. I'm very excited about today's episode. We have a good friend of mine, Jeff Cobb, on as a special guest. Jeff works with the Ed Trust Midwest, the organization, and they put together a coalition that Michigan's Children is really proud to be a part of, centered around the importance of equity in education funding here in Michigan. Jeff, why don't you introduce yourselves to our listeners, and we'll get right started into our conversation.
Sure. Thanks for having me on the podcast. I'm Jeff Cobb. I'm the Director of Government Affairs for the Education Trust Midwest, and I'm really excited to join you today.
Great. Well, let's start maybe by kind of explaining what the MPAO and why the coalition was brought together and to start with, and then we'll get into kind of a broader conversation around the importance of equity in school funding.
Yeah, that sounds great. So the Education Trust Midwest, about 4 years ago, started to put together a coalition centered around how do we improve educational outcomes for students, and specifically looking at students from low-income backgrounds, students of color. So they created a statewide coalition called the Michigan Partnership for Equity and Opportunity. Sometimes we call it MPAO for short. It's a long title, right? But really, we are focused on opportunity, you know, and how do we increase opportunity for these students who for a long time have been left behind by the current funding system in Michigan. And so the coalition it's a statewide coalition. It's pretty diverse. It's bipartisan. We've got folks from Southeast Michigan. We've got people from West Michigan, Mid Michigan. We have community leaders. We have business leaders, nonprofit folks. It kind of runs the gamut. And really what brings us all together, like I said, is just how do we begin to change the conversation in Michigan so that we start identifying the needs of students and how do we fund those needs rather than sort of the one size fits all approach that we've been doing for a long time that we know hasn't really worked. When you look at how, you know, we're doing as a state compared to other states, our educational outcomes are not that great. And so we really need, they're really not great for students from low-income backgrounds and students of color and students of disabilities. And so that's what brought us all together. And so they started right during the COVID pandemic. And so they started meeting online so it's been a good process, and I'm really happy to be a part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm excited about really how this work is moving forward even and getting, I think, you know, more scientific, more explicit even in the goals and the objectives. I'll say that I'll date myself here, but I actually chaired the school aid budget in the House 100 years ago, but back in the 2000s. And equity obviously was an issue then, but the way we addressed it was not really the solution. I mean, what we were focused on back then, and I think for years, not just in my time before and after my time, was around how much money each district is getting in comparison to others, regardless of the student population. And it was all about, you know, so we did things like 2X, where we increased the district's funding that were at the low end of the scale. But it was all in comparison to what other districts were getting, not about the actual student populations they were serving. And so that's where I think the excitement for me is that we're getting a lot more intentional about what we should be doing from a state funding perspective relative to the populations of students that districts are serving. And so let's talk about that a little bit. I don't want to bore everybody with the historical piece of this, but let's talk about where we are now, maybe last year, some of the good things we saw happen from the legislature and what we're hoping to see as we continue to move forward. So the opportunity index is kind of what we call, right, or what we're calling a lot of what we're pushing for here. Explain that to folks, and then maybe a little bit about what we saw from a positive standpoint with the legislature recognizing the importance, the governor recognizing the importance of this last year.
Yeah, I'll try not to get too far into the weeds on this, but
it's hard, I know.
Yeah, it is a little challenging. The school aid budget is a little complicated sometimes, but So, for a long time, the way the state funded students from low-income backgrounds was, through, they have it's the at-risk section in the budget, and they funded them, they give them an extra percentage on top of the foundation allowance. And for a long time, that percentage, or what weight, they call it a weight, was 11.5%. And even though that was in the statute, they historically underfunded that 11.5%. They actually funded it at about 9% for years and years and years. So a couple years ago, we were finally able to get that up to 11.5. And then last year, we really sensed an opportunity to make some a structural change in how we allocate those dollars. So we have been studying other states and what they've been doing. And one of the states that really stuck out to us was Massachusetts. When you look at Massachusetts and where they're and how much they invest and in their outcomes, they're really sort of the gold standard when it comes to comparing. And what we noticed was that a few years ago, Massachusetts, even though they were spending a lot of money, there were still achievement gaps between students from low-income backgrounds and their wealthier peers. And so what they did is they created this new formula that kind of allocates money to districts based on the concentration of poverty. And so what we wanted to do is we wanted to say, well, it seems to have worked in Massachusetts. We wanted to apply those same principles here in Michigan. And so we call that the index, we call it an opportunity index. And so essentially what it is it's changing the way we spend our at-risk dollars. So instead of every district getting 11.5% weight for their student, now it's gonna be on a scale. And in the budget that was passed last year, it's a scale between 35 to 47%. So if you are in a wealthier district, you would get a 35% weight. If you're in a district that has like above 80% of poverty, you're going to get a 47% weight. And the reason we did this, we know that if you're in a district that has really heavily concentrated poverty, it just costs a lot more. You need a lot more resources, and so we think that's really the right way to go. Now, we had some real great champions in the legislature. I need to mention Senator Camilleri. He was fantastic to work with. We also had some champions in the House, and the governor was on board. And so we were really excited to work with all those folks to get this new formula put into place. But the thing is, we didn't really fully fund those weights. And so even though we have these goals long term, we want to fund those weights at 47% to now down to 35%. We're only able to fund them at about a third, which is still great. I mean, last year was the best budget we've had in decades. It was a $200 million increase for these students. But when you look at how significant the need is, we're still only kind of scratching the surface in terms of what really needs to be done if we're really serious about closing achievement gaps and about really providing these students with the resources they need to reach their potential.
Absolutely.
I know you didn't ask about this specifically, but I also want to mention, we're talking about students from low-income backgrounds. One of the other areas that we focus on are English learners, which is another group of students that has historically been underfunded. And this is a group of students that is growing in Michigan. We know there was a Citizens Research Council said this is one of the demographics that's actually going to grow in Michigan, are people, people moving into the state. And so we need to have a system in place that actually provides funds for those students who are coming in, who don't speak English as a first language. And yet historically we have been like one of the worst states in terms of funding them. I think we looked at comparing our state to other states and it was like, we were like 26 out of 31 in terms of states, in terms of how they fund English learners. And I will say last year, we made some significant increase in that. We got a 50% increase in funding. we're still well below what we need to be, but I am optimistic that there is going to be some additional funding this year. And so we're going to kind of keep building on that momentum. So.
Absolutely. No, those are both great points. And I mean, it makes, it's kind of like fundamentally common sense, right? That, I mean, if we have English language learners, if we have high concentrations of poverty within school districts, coverage areas, that that's going to be more expense related to the educational aspects or educational programs in those communities. But we have not recognized that historically as a state to the effect that we need to. And so, you know, that the fact that other states are doing this, Massachusetts is an example, there's some others as well. And there's some others I would say that are probably, you know, closer to on the continuum to where we are in recognizing this as well. But I think what's also important, and you and I know this, but, and I think a lot of people do, but I think it's important for us to reiterate, is that there's cost savings to this, right? The better we do at educating young people, even early childhood to start with, I mean, we make that case all the time from an early childhood standpoint, but the K-12 system is no different. The money that we're investing into these school districts, into these young people, or essentially we're investing this money into these young people at that age, is going to save us as a society exponentially into the future. And so our, you know, the real concern in Michigan, and this is valid and real, is that our achievement data, our data around educational outcomes is not good. And so, I mean, that's a big part of the argument, right, that we're making, is Michigan has been on this historical track on how we funded education for decades now, and the outcome data is not there to support that as a viable path forward. So talk a little bit about that from a messaging standpoint, how we're having some success by showing that what we have been doing isn't working, and how we need to think about things differently.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to Massachusetts. So if you go back to like the mid 90s, you know, Michigan and Massachusetts were kind of on a similar level in terms of academic success. And what we notice is that Massachusetts, they made spending on education a priority. And I actually went to graduate school in Massachusetts, and just living out there, you know, that education is a top priority. I mean, it's pretty evident just in terms of how they value education, and they made it a priority. And so we know what can be done if we were going to make education a priority. We know that if you are willing to spend the money and you're willing to invest it in an efficient way based on student needs, rather than on just throwing money against the wall and hoping it sticks, which is what we've really been doing. I mean, when you look at how we have funded schools, we have traditionally raised the foundation allowance, right? Which is great politics. Every kid gets a $500 increase, right? But it's not a very efficient way to target those dollars. And so we know what works. There was interesting, California did something similar a few years ago, where they started to invest more heavily in students living in concentrations of poverty. And they actually just released a report recently, and they're already seeing results in terms of reading, math outcomes. They're seeing results in graduation rates. They're seeing results in decreased suspensions and expulsions. And the increases actually multiply the longer you do it. So, you know, the first year you might not see, you know, a huge success, but if you continue to invest and invest over and over, by time, you're going to make some significant improvements. And yet we have traditionally not made those investments. I will say last year's legislature really stepped up and showed the path forward. They really bought into this idea. And I think our coalition really was kind of helpful in explaining it to them, why it's needed. We met with, you know, dozens and dozens of lawmakers. And I think at first it was sort of skepticism. Is this really going to work? But as you start to explain to them, you know, why these students, the needs these students have, and why it's important to invest in these students, most legislators understood that, and they really wanted to figure out a way to make a difference in those students' lives. And so they were great. They were on board with, you know, putting in the opportunity index into statute, you know, increasing the English learners funding. You know, there's even another group of students that we also advocate for is students with disabilities. And you've seen the legislature really step up over the years in terms of, you know, they finally, you know, give them a full foundation allowance. instead of sort of a portion of what they used to give them. And so I think the I think our policy leaders understand that we need to start doing things differently. I think now we just got to keep our foot to the pedal and keep moving forward and not sort of rest on what we did last year, but kind of continue to kind of move forward. Because like I say, you know, yes, we had a great year last year in the budget, but we're still way short of where we need to be. And so I think that's kind of the discussion we need to have now.
Absolutely. No, and the achievement data and the outcomes matter, right? I mean, the governor likes to talk about population growth. The legislative leaders are all about population growth. Well, people are looking about what states are doing a better job of educating their young people. Where is the education? And businesses are looking at where are the educational outcomes better when they're thinking about locating businesses, because they have to hire those people, right, to run those businesses, to work in those companies. So, yeah, no, all of this matters. And the reality is that the way we were doing things was not working. And so a fundamental change was needed. And I think you're right. I mean, last year, we made the first step towards that fundamental shift in how we look at viewing education and funding education in Michigan. We didn't fund it fully or even anywhere near fully, but we made that foundational shift in at least thinking about it differently. And I think that's the most important first step. Now, the next part is going to be just as hard in getting the actual dollars in, you know, allocated in a way that makes sense. But I think the coalition that you guys have built and that we're a part of is a great step towards that. And I'm hoping we're on the right track. So I know you testified. I was there at a Senate subcommittee hearing on this last week or the week before with, I'll just shout out Jametta Lilly, a good member of the coalition, and Jose Roscoe as well. Talk a little bit specifically about what we're hoping to see from the legislature and the governor in this budget that is currently being debated that we expect to be passed here in sometime probably mid-June. That'll set the funding levels for next fiscal year, which will start October 1. So what are we hoping to see?
Well, so one thing we're hoping to see is we're hoping to set us on a path to fully fund the Opportunity Index over the next 5 years. And so to do that, we would have to start out with an additional $500 million investment this year. So to put that in perspective, right now we're spending about a total of $1 billion right now. So you're talking about an extra, you know, $500 million. And, you know, I'm a bit of a pragmatist. And so I was kind of thinking, well, maybe we should, you know, maybe we should ask for a little bit less. But when we talk to folks in the coalition and we talk to school leaders and we talk to others, there needs to be a sense of urgency. Like, we need to do this and we need to do it now. And in five years, you're still talking about, you know, that's a long time. So anyway, we want to fund the index up to that 35 to 47% weight over the next 5 years. And so we're asking for $500 million additional dollars this year. We also are wanting to increase the funding for English learners. We want to double that funding from about $40 million to $80 million and begin to put us on a pathway to fully fund the weights that are in law right now. Last year, the House added some sort of weights, goals that they wanted to reach for those students. And so we want to start to move toward being able to fully fund those. And I think those are doable things, but it's going to take some reprioritizing the existing dollars that we have and really saying, no, we really want to invest in student needs rather than just sort of the, you know, putting it all into the foundation allowance. Again, like it's what we've done in the past.
Absolutely. No. And I think, I mean, the timing's right. The arguments are there. We've got a legislature, at least right now, who understands it and was, you know, willing to have these conversations last year. So I think it's critically imperative for all of us who believe this is the right path to take to make our voices heard. So give a little plug now. If people want to learn more about this, we obviously just barely scratched the surface of this issue about equity and education funding and really changing the way that we look at funding education here in Michigan. But if people want to learn more about this, where can they find you? How can they dig in?
Yeah, we have a website. I should probably know the actual thing. With Michigan Partnership for Equity and Opportunity. Hold on, I'm actually quick typing it in.
Yeah, if you Google that, it pops right.
Yeah,
up.
It's called partnersformichiganstudents.org is the website.
There you go.
And learn all about what we're working on. And again, you know, you can also go to the Education Trust Midwest website. You know, we do a lot of the policy and the research that the coalition uses. And, you know, I want to go back one real quick thing to go back. You know, you mentioned the Governor's Population Council. I just want to highlight that, you know, we had folks from the coalition that were part of that council. And one of the recommendations that they made was increase fully funding the Opportunity Index. And I think that's really key, because I think they recognize that if we're serious about making our state an attractive place for people to come and raise their family and do a business, that we really need to fully fund our education system, and especially those students. And so I wanted to point that out, that it is part of the governor's recommendations.
Absolutely. Well, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. This is a core issue area for Michigan's children as well. You can find more information about this and the work that we're doing as part of the coalition at michiganschildren.org. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to thank my friend and colleague, Jeff Cobb, and everybody at EdTrust Midwest, and all of our colleagues and members of the coalition as well, for the work they're doing around this important issue. And please, share this program with anybody you think might be interested. And tune in again next month for another edition of Speaking for Kids, your podcast brought to you by Michigan's Children, that'll bring you information and news about issues that are happening here in Lansing and sometimes in Washington, D.C. as well. So thanks again and have a good day.
You've been listening to Speaking for Kids, the podcast for Michigan's Children with host Matt Gillard. Thanks for joining us. To explore these and other issues relevant to our state's children, youth, and families, and to build your advocacy muscle, go to our website at www.michiganschildren.org. You'll find links and news about past and future podcast topics under our Resource tab and action alerts under the Take Action tab. Find and like us on Facebook and Twitter. Terry Bannis and Stephen Wallace produced this podcast. Contact them with your questions and ideas for other topics. Michigan's Children is a nonprofit advocacy organization, an independent voice working to reduce disparities in child outcomes from cradle to career through policy change.